Okay, I'm just going to say this because I saw this today, an individual doing this. Like I said, Eric has been jumping bank to bank to bank to bank. Biggest mistake I did ever when I got married was put him on my bank account that I had for, God, long before I met him, let's just say. And all of a sudden one day, I go on the account and shut down. And it's a joint account. It did not know the ins and outs. So I never had a problem with my account, nor have I ever had a problem if I put somebody on a bank account, if we went into a joint account together, of, you know, mishandling and not managing and not be responsible enough with your money. And I put Eric on the account was a mistake. It was an account I had way before I met him, and he literally just destroyed the account. When you do things with the bank, if somebody's already not honest, you don't know who they are, and I clearly did not know who I married, and that's the truth. I don't need any attorney to keep engraving it into me, or a therapist. You do not know who I married. But the person who hired the private investigator that you listen to the podcast right now, yes, you knew exactly who I married. I still question, everybody questions, why didn't you tell me all the stuff you found out? When you hired a private investigator and you looked into Eric, why didn't you tell me all this stuff? Why did you instead, you know, and somebody else say, well, she has no idea. She has no idea who she got married to. She has no idea. You're right. You're absolutely 1 billion percent right on that. I had no idea who I got married to. But why would you sit there and subject me to being married to somebody I don't know? And you knew things I didn't. I know why. Because you're not an oncology patient. You've never gone through any type of oncology or cancer treatments. You've never gone through radiation, chemo, or any clinical trials. So you don't know what it's like to have to focus on your life and very dangerous treatments that are not guaranteed, and some aren't even FDA approved. They're called experimental. That's why insurance companies don't approve majority of the treatments. Some, they cover part of the treatments or costs, but majority of patient is responsible for. That's why there's a lot of grants and stuff for oncology and cancer patients, because I was one of those people through Rare Cancer Institute that got those grants. But you, who listens to the podcast daily, thought, I guess, I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking. I mean, obviously, I had to focus on my health and my life. Okay? But when you hire a private investigator and you found out things about Eric, shouldn't you, your title, have come to me and told me? Shouldn't you protect another person if you know information that could be harmful, not healthy for them to be around? And just show what a private investigator found out and then lay it out. You can't lay it on a table, then mail the thing, okay? Mail what you found out. But instead, you let me thin and find all this stuff out, like, I don't know what, like popping balloons for a baby reveal. Every balloon I pop, I found out something different. But you're standing back going, well, I guess she found out. Why didn't you tell me? That's more disturbing than anything, I think, is when people withheld information and they knew exactly who I got married to. Especially anybody who hires a private investigator, you know exactly what I got married to. You hired a private investigator for your own reasons, personal reasons, okay? I don't know, not my business. But you were also going into Eric's information and getting information divulged about him, but you didn't even share it with me. And this is how domestic violence, domestic abuse, verbal, physical, mental, emotional, and people know the person you're dealing with and they don't tell you. God dang, warn the hell out of me. I like dealing with treatments that an individual who wasn't even present, who had to sit there with another surgeon that was part of my care since I was in my early 20s, for crying out loud, a surgeon, okay, who had concerns about Eric, who had valid concerns and always said, be careful, okay, had their assistant, surgical assistant, sit down and explain to Eric the importance when they found out he wasn't present after one surgery. I almost choked to death on my blood. I woke up, blood all over the place. I slumped down from being completely knocked out the anesthesia. He was supposed to be attentive and making sure, as he was directed by a surgical assistant, you need to look at all this and read this information instructions and you need to go buy it. Because you're the person supposed to be caring for. He wasn't even caring for me, so you can't be a damn caregiver at all. But that could have been fatal. But somebody hires a private investigator and you know what somebody's like and you didn't even tell me? I'm going to tell you. Oh, I find anything out about anybody, I'm going to tell you. It involves kids, I'm going to protect you. That's what a person that has some morals and decency and a heart does. But the person I hired a private investigator didn't tell me anything. I found out everything like slow sludge. I believe I know pretty good everything about Eric. Maybe some I was told today on the phone, you may not know. But it all comes out. It will. You're finding out by fate, not by people. You're finding out because he's slipping up. Taking advantage of overdraft protection. That gets you taken off of a bank account. A bank will remove you. They will sue you if you don't pay them back. Overdraft protection can be a certain amount, $500, $1,000. It's up to every bank what they will allow you to overdraw. I have never, ever used it. I don't really know. I didn't really know anything about it. It's the truth, so help me God. I had to be versed by a bank representative on how it works. Told I should never had them added, you know, in their opinion. Maybe, you know, that bank account you were with for over a decade, you know, before you met this person, maybe you should have added them. You know, I shouldn't have. It was their opinion. Off cuff, I shouldn't have. You know. But I had to get my own account to protect myself. But when I say that I'm making a big leap of faith, and that's put it lightly, is I'm putting it all on the line, including my benefits, so I can stand on 2 feet and realize a business. And I don't have a choice. See, I don't have a choice. Because the person I married who signed a legal separation has spousal maintenance that they have never, ever, ever paid up on any of it. Not even paid the full amount for one stick a month. Okay? So it leaves me in a position where you start fending for yourself. And ladies and women, you have to do this. I get it. And then you're dealing with oncology still? You're dealing with your life, you're dealing with treatments that fail, you're dealing with the tumor progresses, and then you have to deal with this because you realize the person that you got married to, you didn't know. And let's face it, all along, all they were after was my benefits anyway. It's on a recorded conversation from a concerned party to a sheriff's department. And I got the cassette. And I thought it was just a, like, what the heck? Like, is this a joke? Is this out of spite, this person saying this about Eric? Because I don't know anything they're talking about because I didn't know. But they told the sheriff's department, and the sheriff's department at Honcho called me and asked for the personal matters not be taken to the place of employment. But there may be a little concern that I may need to listen to this because I don't know if you're aware of what this person's talking about. They told me just a little bit, and I said no because I didn't. I don't know where I'm going with this podcast. I think it's just as a learning curve, a wisdom and knowledge I can share with other women, ladies, when you're going through domestic stuff, and you're kind of stuck because, you know, you let people know, hey, listen, this is going on, or people knew, and they didn't even bother helping you to get out of the situation, and you're fending on your damn self, hard enough on your own. Now, add being an oncology patient, being under palliative care or hospice care, dealing with progression with your health, and you wonder why I like to laugh and make lighthearted jokes and my podcast is always switching, is because when I'm having a bad day, I gotta make some kind of damn humor out of something. That's my therapy. That helps me get through the day. I don't cry. I don't do that anymore. No? I'm having a bad day because this person's literally, they're putting me in a situation, I'm losing my federal benefits. I'm going to be gambling it in August because I don't have a choice. I got to go before a judge and explain why I'm gambling this. As somebody said to me today, is you can't force a person to grow up. You can't force a person to responsibility. You can lock them up in a jail cell for the rest of their life, but that doesn't mean when they walk out and time serves that they're going to change. Because if a person is a certain age and they're still the way they are and they're really worse, there's nobody's going to change them. No therapist is going to change them. Law is not going to change them. Nobody's going to change them. But you can change how you deal with it and respond. And that is like the greatest wisdom anybody can share with any young lady or woman that's dealing with domestic stuff. I talked to a real estate attorney today. That's in the county, and I have to settle part of whatever insurance, you know, that wasn't paid out by myself, have to settle with claims. You have to sell it out before the property goes up for sale. There's things to attend to. You can't sit there till the cows come home, and the cows still won't come home because things have changed, and explain to Eric that you cannot take advantage and abuse overdraft protection. And you can't sit there and jump from bank to bank to bank to bank. I never see anybody jump three or four banks in less than a year, maybe just a little bit over a year. And use and abuse overdraft protection. But you can't sit there and tell anybody you don't have any money when you're giving money that's spousal maintenance to con artists, to men posing as women, to girls. It looks strange, because it is. Is it normal? No, it's not. That's why it's strange. But you're not going to change somebody. You waste your time. Anybody trying to sit down and explain, it's not going to work. A judge will explain, trust me. But a person at that kind of point of view, of mentality of thinking, is not going to change a jail cell either. When they come out, they're going to be the same person. It's not going to change. But, you know, people have to, they have to take ownership. And when you do things, you're responsible. You have to take ownership for everything you do. You're accountable for. Whether it's alimony, child support, spousal maintenance, I don't care what it is. We've gone through divorce, and you sign and you agree upon everything. That's it. There's no change in anything. It's done. But I never seen anybody bounce and use overdraft protection every single day, but claim they have no money. But when people have things they're looking at, and they trump attorneys, whether it's state, federal, whatever, they can see everything. They can see every dollar spent. They can see all your bank accounts. They know what car you're driving. They know everything. And it doesn't make any sense when somebody's literally showing you what somebody's spending freely out of your spousal maintenance. And this has been going on a while, for quite a while. It's where I've talked to friends, close friend of mine, actually, that's in town, and two other friends. And I said, listen, I don't think I'm going to have a choice but to literally lose my benefits, because I'm going to have to literally pull myself off of benefits so I can start working for myself. And if this fails, I have to find somebody else, something else real quick. Because a spousal maintenance is part of separation agreement. I've never seen not 1 month. If somebody doesn't have cancer, they're not sick, they're not disabled, they're not going through treatments, they don't have, you know, a brain tumor, Alzheimer's, dementia, they have no mental problems, whatever, and you're fully capable of working, you're fully capable of working. But how can anybody, somebody said today, how can anybody focus on working if they're so obsessed with the female anatomy? How can somebody be on their phone all day long and focus on work? They're not. They're not going to make any money. They're not going to be attentive. They're not going to be attentive to somebody's health. There's a lot of things I just question and I don't understand. I sit there and question, I ponder. It's first of all, somebody hires a private investigator, wouldn't you tell the person that you know, realizes, and you know darn damn well, they don't know anything about the person? Why wouldn't you tell them? Why would you sit back and just allow them to, they'll find out on their own? That's spiteful, isn't it? To me, it's like hatred. To me, it's like somebody that does that, like you literally hate the person that you're not divulging information to. I'm sorry, you know. I find out something about a man, and somebody's married or with them, whatever, especially if they have kids, and it may cause bodily harm or something going on, I'm going to let them know. May not understand at that given time, but I will never change my decisions ever in my life. Because I know it's like to be in that kind of situation, domestic abuse and violence, it's not okay. And like I said, women, we don't respect each other enough. Just because you went through it doesn't mean that somebody else has to go through it, and you sit back, you know, rubbing your hands and just sitting back, you know, eating Doritos and not doing anything about it and not letting the person know any information. That's wrong. If you tell somebody, listen, to know about this about a person, you know, and they want to still proceed ahead with the relationship or whatever, you let them know. But at the end of the day, women, ladies, you should respect and feel good about yourself for letting the other party know. But you can't make a decision for another woman or another female. All you can do is warn one another. That's it. But nobody should ever sit there and not divulge information they know. That puts people in serious risk and things, and that's not okay, especially somebody's going through, somebody's oncology or cancer patient. And if you've never experienced that, you have no idea. You have to focus 100% on the treatment, the wicked side effects, how you feel, and even after. And if you don't realize, you know, I'm drawing a blank again. Go to sleep. Okay, it's a good terminology, will come to me. Even at that point, you know, you got to realize that remission. There you go. Things can come back. Look at Shannon Daugherty. Am I saying her name right? 90210. Look at what she went through. I can relate to that. She's going through cancer treatments. Okay. All right. Went to remission. Did I not say in the podcast too, I believe it's sleeping. I always believed, and my oncologist believes in group, that it never goes away. You're never truly healed. It'd be impossible, as they said, to encase every single cell. You're not going to be able to see certain cells, even with the best equipment, microscopes, your robotics, you're not. It came back. She got it back. I can really relate. And her husband cheats on her. I can relate. Oh, I definitely relate. There's reasons I went ahead and did my legal separation. And she's left to fend on her own, you know? But she say, she was left with no choice. She was left no other choice. Damn right you're not. Because he's obviously not attentive to you. You know, it's hard not to feel a certain way towards men. Ladies, when you go through something like that and you're an oncology patient and you're a progressive part of your disease condition, I don't know, oncology, every medical thing I believe is some sort of disease or something stems somewhere, hereditary, whatever. Just my opinion, her husband cheats on her. She doesn't feel like she really even knew him. When a man cheats on you and you are going through oncology, and a man, a spouse cheats on you, is the lowest, in my opinion, I must say it, the lowest scumbag slime ball on the face of this earth. They don't deserve to be around any women or any young ladies. They deserve to have their ass implanted permanently, part-time hours till the day they're gone, and sit there and volunteer for hospice, hospital and hospital, to see really what it's like, what people go through. And to sit there and be attentive and forced to be attentive to patients that are suffering. That's where I think the ultimate, I don't think spousal support or any of that stuff's any good, because these guys choose still to not pay it. And they wonder why they get it blocked up. Come on, do it yourself. Ain't nobody forcing you not to be responsible. You do it yourself. Blame anybody. Blame till the cows come home. It's your responsibility. Nobody is in charge of your decisions and actions except for yourself. Unless you don't know what the hell's going on. I didn't know who the hell I got married to. But I literally saw that come across the news feed on my phone. I thought, man, wow. Her husband cheated on her. What was it, with the assistant or something? Talent management? Sorry, I'm going to say it again. Any man who does that and their wife is suffering, you're the biggest sleazeball scumbag of the earth, slime of the earth, dirtbag, lowest form of dirt on the earth as possible. And that's keeping it G-rated on podcasts for yourself, my journey. It's the truth. I had surgeons who were concerned about Eric. I had a female gynecology oncology specialist who was the first one to saw me through a big oncology group, multiple state, and they had their claws all over Eric. They couldn't figure it out, but they were questionable about him. Somebody, I believe, contacted their office and told them what was going on when they found out things about Eric, because there was things she said that made me stand back and go, what? At that point, I was still so sick, I couldn't even think about anything she was trying to hint. And the thing is she was hinting to me, per attorney and therapist, she was hinting. And she was right. And anybody who knows, and you know what somebody's involved with, dating, engaged, or married to, and they're an oncology patient, and you're not divulging information, you're allowing them to sit back and wonder what the hell's going on, and they're already dealing with enough and battling enough, and you're allowing that to continue and adding on to that, you need to sit back and make it right with God. That's all I gotta say. You gotta get some therapy, man. That ain't right. That ain't right. I don't care if it's a woman to woman, if a guy does something, that ain't right. That's not right at all. That ain't right. That's just not right. That's not right. Somebody may be angry if you're divulging something that may protect them or their children or whatever situation. They may be angry with you. They can't see straight. They're in a fog. Especially domestic violence, abuse, verbal, physical, whatever. It's all the same. Okay? But when the fog clears, they'll get it. Anybody right frame of mind would be like, wow, they actually protected me. And I was offended. But now I realize, damn, they protected me. I didn't have that. I had people that knew about Eric and didn't tell me. That's the truth. I had to find all that stuff out on my own. But I realize what I'm saying is I'm gambling. People are asking, what do you mean gambling with going into a venture? And, being an entrepreneur and trying this is I'm rolling the dice with my benefits because I can't continue this. You know, I realize I have to stand on my own 2 feet, and I have, and I need to continue to do such, and I need to full force financially do it, period. I have to go in front of a judge. It's not a joke. It's not a lie. I have to do this and explain why. I can only imagine the judge's response. Here's the spousal maintenance. Here's the separation. I've not had 1 month what he agreed upon. Not 1 month. It's been over a year. I'm sorry. I got to do what I got to do. It's not fair. No. Is it right? No. But I don't have time to think about fair or right. I have time to get off my freaking dust my feet off and full force ahead with the energy I got left. I don't have a choice. You know, I work with a friend of mine and talked to a real estate attorney, and they had talked to him also today and figuring out, can you get out of the claim? And no, you got to continue with finalizing the claim because it's already begun. So luckily I have an actual legit roofing company. It's actually a woman who owns a company, and mad respect for her. And she's been great. She has actually done everything the way it should legally go. Write down every T crossed, I dotted. We go to the software, we make sure we sign the contracts, we make sure we do, credit card, paper trail deposit. I was dealing with con artists, and I already been scammed, and let's face it, I've been dealing with conning for a while. Let's face it, I don't need to go there. So I'm well versed. It just shows me is how smart I am. And I literally have applied what has happened to me into my present day, and I picked up on it. I stopped it before they ran away with insurance money and my money. But now I have a reputable contractor for roofing, and I still have a hard time with excavating and that and finalizing things, but it'll happen. It'll happen in time, but that's what I mean. I say I'm gambling. I don't have a choice. But I realized, trying to figure out how to maneuver this since it's such low inventory buying a house. I have to finish this. So I was thinking today, getting a game plan down of how to move forward, not wallow in, oh, there's no inventory, oh, there's no feeling sorry for myself, I never had pity parties, I don't have no damn time, I'm not that kind of person. Sorry, ladies, I'm not that woman. I'll leave crying a river to Justin Timberlake again, but I realized, I'm gonna have to make a big leap of faith, God willing, it works out. If it doesn't, I'm gonna get up. Like I said, I'm gonna get up and try again. You're one step away from success with each failure, that you stumble upon. That's the truth. So it's a gamble. I have to explain to a judiciary judge of why I have to do what I have to do. And it's going to divulge everything about Eric, and rightfully so. There's no choice, legally, as I was told by attorney saying, I'm fine, I have a choice. You have to divulge this. This is gonna be between you, judiciary judge. Yeah, but they totally understand, they get it. And then once August hits and hopefully get the rest of the stuff with the house, hopefully by then, I don't know. I may have to wait, to get things done because of peak season, and some of these contractors I need are doing just commercial work, or they don't call back at all, or they don't service the area a million times over. I don't know how many times I've lost track. I've heard that. But I'm going to have to do what I got to do. I'm the strongest woman. I'll never change. I just become stronger by the trials and tribulations that I faced and I have overcome. And I continue pushing ahead, and I'll continue fighting, and I'll continue battling the rest of my life with my health. I know that. I can't do anything about it. All I can do is continue working in palliative care. If I need to transfer and we get to that point, we're going to have to get to that point. I'll end up in hospice, and I know it. I have an appointment in 2 weeks, switching things up. I'll be going for medication that I'm on to help with breakthrough pain and that. Other ways and means didn't work, and now we have another option we're going to go. So we still have, as they said, some wiggle room to play with. But when we get to that point, we're on a wiggle room, then you're in hospice. So I need to get going on things and expedite things and continue moving full speed ahead. So You know, when I'm having bad days, a lot of people sit back and eat a pint of ice cream or a gallon of ice cream or whatever, you know. I mean, that's your prerogative. But I put creativity, I work, and I put my mind elsewhere, and I created some really, really nice sneakers. Last night, I got the promotional video up, and I'm excited. I realized I have literally designed 17 pairs of sneakers. And the best of the best, Converse. So I'm excited. And I really thought about it. You know what? I like multiple digits of one. To me, they've always been luck and angel digits. 17's lucky, too. And 17 pairs? Yeah, what the heck. I'm going to go ahead and make them available for sale to everyone. I'm not going to cut any designs, you know? And as people realize when they purchase a pair, it's just not just helping rescue organizations for love of animals and, you know, giving back. I'll be giving back and donating to your favorite rescue organization, fostering, and other communities and organization groups. But remember, too, is during those bad days, what's on your feet helped me get through my tough times. And that's something to be said.